Father, we just ask that you will bless Juan now. Pour your spirit into him to help him speak your words. And might we be willing to hear what you have to say to us through him. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Well, so which month of the year is it? December. Okay. Thank you. As you might have gathered, we're starting a new season of talks in the church. And it's all about this thing called Christmas. This lovely little bit. It's all very, you know, very nice and fluffy with, you know, baby Jesus and the angels. So nice, you know. Lots of animals, donkeys. Lots of donkeys. Everybody loves donkeys and that kind of stuff. And we're trying to unpack in this next couple of weeks a few things about Christmas. And I'm going to do a little bit of an introduction. And obviously I've got the first one, which is Isaiah's song. So this is the actual reading. It comes in two parts. And it is, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he would honor Galilee of the nations. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. This is awesome, isn't it? So who do you think this is talking about? Or about whom do you think this is talking? So who do you think this is talking about? Yeah? Jesus, yes, exactly. Is it baby Jesus or is it big Jesus? Big Jesus, that's correct, awesome. Because one of the problems I have with this passage, really, is that I don't think it's such a great passage for Advent. Because it is about Galilee of the nations by way of the sea beyond the Jordan. That's what it says there, and that's where the light is dawning. So next slide, that is a map of the Holy Land at the time of Jesus. And as you can see, the green blob, circle, whatever, that is where the people have seen a great light. That is kind of Galilee of the nations beyond the Jordan. And if you look at the red blob, that is where Jesus is actually born. He was born in Bethlehem, wasn't he? So therefore, this passage is talking about big Jesus. And kind of 30 years after his birth, Jesus, and what the impact he was going to have in his ministry. Now, obviously, this passage for today, there is a baby Jesus bit. Not with a lot of donkeys, though, but there is a baby Jesus bit. So it is, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. And blah, 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 and he will reign on David's kingdom and all those lovely bits. Now, this is a wonderful, you might hear it this Christmas. It was put to music by George Frederick Handel. It's a classic composition that basically goes word by word on this passage. And it's just an awesome bit of music. Now, let's think about this for a minute, because this is making some really amazing statements about a child. Yeah, for to us a child is born, a son is given, the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. You know, the greatest of his government, there will be no end. So, I guess one question is, what do you think was the reaction to Jesus' birth from his contemporaries? You know, the people who were living near the time. You know, what do you think happened? In view of what I just said, you know, being, you know, Mighty God, Wonderful Counselor, and all that stuff. What do you think? What do you think happened? Exactly. Yeah, you're on fire. I love that. Because in the main, people were not even remotely bothered about Jesus when he was born. Not even touching the sides. Not even remotely bothered. However, There were some exceptions. And funnily enough, all of the exceptions are in our Christmas program. Every single one of them. So I'm going to run through them, and I'm going to give a little introduction about them, and then I'm going to land this in what this means to us today. So, who was bothered, about Jesus' birth at the time? Now, the first guy who was bothered, and this is quite funny, was Zechariah. Now, he was John the Baptist's dad, and it turns out that he went into the temple one day, and he was offering a sacrifice, and an angel of God appears before him. I mean, I can say this because it's not in the thing, so I'm not stealing anyone's thunder. So an angel comes and says, well, I'll bring you good news. You will have a son, because they were childless, and they were like 80 something, so they were well past their prime. And therefore, the angel says to Zechariah, you're going to have a son. Great news. Awesome. And Zechariah, initially, he was quite perplexed by this. But then he starts answering back. He said, well, hang on a minute, Sonny Jim. How do I know that this is true? In slightly nicer words than that. And the angel says, I am the angel of God, and this will happen, so you will not be able to speak until this happens. And it does so. So when Zechariah regains his speech, in a sense, he makes a prophecy, he makes a song, and we'll consider that later. Next one, who was bothered? Well, Mary and Joseph, obviously. Mary was carrying baby Jesus, and Joseph also had to take quite a lot of risks in this. We'll talk about it a bit later. Who else was bothered? The shepherds. They were bothered, actually, because they saw a vision of angels. And that thing that they saw inspired them enough to leave their jobs, leave their work, and go to this manger to see this baby and to worship him, just to be there, just to witness that. And I think that can speak to us today. What are we, in the midst of all our busyness and all the stuff that we do, are we allowing ourselves to have the awe, to allow ourselves to wonder and to make space to be able to see Jesus and to go and see him? And who was bothered? Simeon and Anna. These are interesting characters. This happens when... This is all in Luke chapter 1, by the way. Homework, a little bit of homework if you want to read that whole chapter. It's fascinating. Simeon and Anna, these people, they lived in the temple in Jerusalem, and they were the ones who saw Jesus when Mary and Joseph came to dedicate him at the temple. And the takeaway from these two guys is their persistence, because they were quite old, and the Bible says that they were longing for the Messiah, but they had been longing for the Messiah for years. And years and years, and when they saw him, they were overjoyed because they recognized him for who he was. And this is probably a good example of being in the right place at the right time, because obviously there was a very small window of time where they could have seen baby Jesus, because Mary and Joseph took him to the temple and then they took him somewhere else. So that's something that can speak to us today about being in the right place at the right time with God, and longing, but with a longing that is enduring, with something that you are seeking him not just one day or 2 days or 3 days, but is an ongoing process, and you have this hope built up inside of you. Who else was bothered? The Magi. Now, this is quite interesting, because I think out of this group of people, I think they were the ones, up to a certain extent, who had to pay the highest cost in the following sense, because they were people that were looking for the signs of the times. So they weren't looking behind or looking somewhere else. They were attentively looking at the signs of the time, and they see the star, and then they start this journey that took them quite a long time at a lot of cost, And they had to go through a lot of danger to get to Jerusalem and then eventually to see Jesus. And trust me, they were very bothered, but they did get their reward in terms of they got to this house where Jesus was and they worshipped him. And again, that is something that can speak to us today. And then I guess this leads me to probably the question that I want to ask me, probably all of us, is, are you bothered? You know, is this whole Jesus thing something that you're really making a priority of it? There was this song this line in the song, the first song, about let every heart prepare him room. And I think that is quite important, isn't it? Because in this season, it's very easy to not prepare him room, to just be kind of blown away by stuff that, although they might be nice, they're not the stuff. So, are you bothered this Christmas? Are you focusing on Jesus? Or are you just, you know, going along with the Black Fridays, the Blah Mondays, the this and that, kind of shopping, work, going to the do of this, the do of that, the concert of the other, all the stuff? Because to be fair, there is a lot of things that might get in the way. I'm just going to give you two. Everybody loves a tag cloud, doesn't it, these days? I mean, I'm just getting on with the program, I guess. And this is, for me, one thing that might get in the way for us preparing room for Jesus. And it is, I'm going to call that stuff. You know, stuff gets in the way because we focus on the stuff. And, oh, I need to get the present for blah. Oh, I need to do this. Stuff. And all that stuff really crowds out Jesus. And we end up kind of not preparing room for him. The other thing, and this I'm going to call it busyness. You know, that can also get in the way. There are a lot of things we do in this season. There are good things in themselves, yeah? I'm not saying it's wrong to spend time with your family. Of course it isn't. It's great. Is it wrong to spend fellowship with other people, maybe with your mates at work? No, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just a problem that it all comes packed in 3 weeks of the year. So therefore, you are all the time doing this sort of stuff. And therefore, in that kind of busyness, in that kind of traveling up and down the country to see family or friends and that kind of stuff, you can miss out on the real significance of Christmas. And so this is another tag cloud about Jesus. And I think what is the way, you know, what can get in the way, you know, busyness, stuff, but what is the way is Jesus. And I'm just going to close with a couple of thoughts, really. The first one is, I'm going to repeat the question that I've said, because I know it might be a bit uncomfortable, but kind of, are you bothered this Christmas? Are you seriously bothered? I mean, is the Advent, is Jesus something that you're really bothered about? Is it making a real difference in your life right now? Are you looking forward to celebrating, to remembering that thing, that coming of Jesus? And the second one is, are you willing to make space for him? Are you willing to prepare him room in your heart? And I think that if we do that, if we prepare him room, I think he's going to fill it. Because when we make space for God, you know, this amazing thing happens. He comes by his Spirit. And whatever space we prepared, he's going to fill with his Holy Spirit. And as we go along in this series of talk in Advent. I encourage you to come to everyone, because this is part of a very important story, and all of these people that we're going to be talking about through the next couple of weeks, they could all be bothered, and they have an amazing teaching for us today. But also, and as I said before, when you prepare your heart, when you make room, stuff will happen. And if you want prayer for that, we're obviously going to have prayer at the side of the church. And if you want to, I don't know, where the worship band comes up, if you want to respond in that way as well, the prayer team can come up. But that is my encouragement today and throughout this Christmas season, that you prepare him room. Prepare room for God. And he will fill it with his Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.